Welcome to Coaching the Whole Educator, the podcast that helps instructional coaches, teacher leaders, and school leaders. I'm Becca, former educator and school coach turned transformational coach of coaches. I'm on a mission to help you improve your educators' effectiveness and resilience, especially the ones who need it most. Each week, we'll cover quick tips, strategies, and coaching mindsets so that you can be on top of your coaching game. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Coaches, we know it might seem like a hassle to gather classroom observation data and be present during a teacher's lesson. What would it be like if that was done for you? The ability to see trends in things like student talk versus teacher talk, high quality questioning, wait time, and even grade level academic vocabulary could make a huge difference in upgrading the quality of instruction. Sydney has recently upgraded its coaching platform to include all of these capabilities using AI technology. All you have to do is capture video or audio of the lesson using your phone, and Sydney does the rest. How cool is that? And one of the things I love most about Sydney is that it all stays confidential on the platform. Visit sydney.com/TWE for your free trial, or click the link in the show notes. Hello, 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 coaches and leaders. I am thrilled to have my dear friend and colleague and like coaching companion here with me today, Angela Kelly. She is actually a host of another podcast, The Empowered Principal. My school leaders listening, feel free to check her out. She is absolutely incredible. And we are going to have a really interesting conversation about when you feel like you keep having the same conversation over and over again with the teacher. Like, why is that happening? What do you do about it? So before we jump into the topic, I want to, first of all, welcome you to the show, Angela.
Well, thank you, Becca. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'd love you to just briefly share with the listeners, who are you? What's your journey? What do you do now before we go into the topic?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Angela Kelly. I am a former teacher, elementary school teacher, primarily kinder and first grade. I was with the littles. I was a reading specialist. I was an instructional coach before I became a school leader. And I was a site administrator for 6 years at two different sites within my district before going up to the district level. And then in 2017, after 22 years of being in my district, I made the decision to resign and start my business, which was the scariest thing I've ever done. But I started the Empowered Principal company, which really was designed to provide individualized professional and personal development for school leaders. So for the last 7 years, I'm a life and leadership coach for school leaders. I coach and mentor them one-on-one and in group and offer professional development services for their school.
You know, I always find this remarkable because you and I have such a strong life coaching background in addition to the education coaching background, right? Yes, which is pretty unique. So that actually has me want to like go right into our topic, which is when you feel like you keep having the same conversation over and over again with the teacher, right? So first of all, I want to talk about why does this happen? Why do coaches and leaders go to talk with teachers? And it could be a few situations. It could be the teacher comes and says, I need help with this and isn't improving. And it could be a coach or leader saying, you need help with this.
Right.
And we keep having the same conversation. Why does that happen?
This is my take on why it happens. It's an awareness issue. So for the teacher, the teacher might be aware enough to ask, like, I know I have a problem and I know that I need help, but I don't know what aspect of the problem I need help with. And I'm not really sure what I'm asking for. And sometimes when they receive the coaching, they're not quite sure what to walk away from because the level of awareness is so low. Other times, especially if a leader or a coach is coming in and saying, here's my observation, this is where I'm thinking we might take our coaching when we're being more directive about the coaching topics, such as behavior management, there might be a total lack of awareness. I would have teachers who did not believe that there was any problem with their behavior management while I can hear their class, you know, several doors down the hall. And so that there, it's an awareness issue. And I think step one of any kind of coach or leader who is mentoring a teacher, we want to be able to identify where is their level of awareness. Are they in complete unawareness? Do they just not know at all? They don't believe there's a problem. They don't even see it as a problem. Or are they at that, like, I don't know what I don't know, but I do know there's a problem and I don't know how to articulate it.
Yeah.
And then there's the level of like, this feels like a problem and I'm struggling with it. But when you tell me things that might strategies that might change or improve this, I have a block. I have a fear. I have there's a thought that's happening that's interfering, right? That's blocking the teacher from taking the initiative to try that strategy.
So I want to talk about the fear, and I also want to talk about some foundational needs. So within my Whole Educator Academy, one of the modules that I bring coaches through is really looking at what are the foundational needs that we need to help teachers meet to not only have them change their behavior, but sustain that change, right? Not have them go back to their old ways. And what there's a whole model that we go through, and it ends with, as you kind of deep dive and you ask yourself all these questions, it ends with asking, what foundational needs do they need support in? Additional knowledge, like their content knowledge, additional skills, like how to do it, or a shift in mindset. And it could be any combination of all three. It could be one, two, or three of those things. What I find with coaches is a lot of times when they find a need, they go in the knowledge realm a lot.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell, you're not doing the way I want you to do it. I'm going to tell you, oh, they're resisting me. And it's like, Well, there's actually different foundational needs that might need to be supported. So I think one reason why you might be having the same conversation is you might not be meeting their need.
That could be true. And this is where it comes into the mindset piece, because if a person, if a teacher is asking you or having the same conversation, or you feel like Groundhog Day, where you're going in and every day they're asking kind of the same thing about kind of the same topic, maybe in a little different way every time. And you're thinking to yourself as the coach, like, we've already talked about this, or I've already offered this. What's happening is there's some kind of disconnect, because the teacher has, they haven't had the mental, a thought shift, right? They're still feeling the same way. They're still feeling like they don't understand, or they're feeling a little frustrated or confused. A lot of time is the emotion that the teacher is in when they're asking for support. But it's layered, like behind that confusion is a little bit of like fear or resistance to the information. So it doesn't even make it into the action. It makes it into like, you're telling them what might the information, like you said, knowledge, you're giving them the knowledge or the strategy, and but their brain hasn't, doesn't understand, hasn't latched on to why that strategy one is going to help them, or they're not sure how. They're afraid to fail.
I'm thinking about my levels of resistance that I have within my building buy-in module of the academy. And it, we, one of the levels of resistance, and it talks about different motivations for resisting change. And one of them is I'm resisting change because I'm afraid of the, of, is it worth the risk? I'm asking, is it worth the risk? And usually that question has to do with either competence or confidence. So I'm either afraid I can't do it, or I don't have, or sorry, I'm either afraid I can't do it, but I can, or I'm actually missing the skill, right? I'm afraid I can't do it. And I actually, I'm not able to right now. And I need support in that. And so I think fear could be one of those things, really having someone going back with the same conversation and just not realizing it. I was coaching a coach last week And she was working with someone that she was like, they are rude. And she was like, they interrupt me and they brush me off and they're rude. And I said, well, it sounds like that behavior is actually a stress behavior. It sounds like they're stressed out when they're talking to you. And she said, no, she interrupted. No, they're just rude. Right. So we had to have a conversation about it. But when she had the mindset that they're rude, right, she's filling in the blank. This person has a behavior. She's interpreting it as they're a rude person. There's only a few solutions to dealing with a rude person. But if I can step back and say, okay, what are the behaviors without all my interpretations? What actually needs to happen here? I can see so many other solutions to this unwanted behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because the question, it shifts from, here's what I think the problem is, and here's what I think the solution is, to, I don't actually know the problem, so I can't determine a solution until I get curious and I get out of what I'm thinking and into what they're thinking and get curious and ask myself, why would a person be behaving this way? Why might a person be responding? Like, if you're having the same conversation over and over and you're summary of that conversation is they're rude. If that's like the interpretation you walk away with and the perception of this person, every time you go in, it's going to impact it will stunt the growth. But when you're thinking like, why might a person behave in this way? What might they be feeling? What might they be thinking? What might they be trying to protect themselves from? It helps us come in with a lot more curiosity and compassion. The fastest way I have found to do that with my clients is to ask when do I exhibit those behaviors? Like, what's going on for me when I'm exhibiting those behaviors? And it doesn't have to be at work, but like anytime where I'm feeling a resistance or like I'm in fight or flight and I'm protecting myself by being what we would call rude, what is coming up, you'll find that it isn't even about the person themselves that's coming that you're interacting with. It's like, there's something coming up for you where it's like, I feel like my self-identity is being in question or my capacity, my competency. And I don't want to feel incompetent or that I don't have capacity or that I'm not good enough. I don't want to feel like a failure. I don't want to feel embarrassment or disappointment or any of the feelings that come with being open, honest, and willing to having a coaching conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not knowing how it's going to end because that feels vulnerable.
Right. Because when we're facing a conversation that keeps happening over and over again, I'm going to say with fair certainty that somebody in the relationship isn't being vulnerable, because what's happening is in order for that connection and collaboration and conversation to evolve and grow, both parties have to come in with some vulnerability. So when we're classroom teachers and we're working with kids, we have this mindset that we don't have to be vulnerable as the teacher. We're the adult and that kids should do what we say. And because we have positional authority and age authority and developmental authority, we tend to get away with that. We tend to not have to be vulnerable, and kids are extremely vulnerable and we create safe spaces for them, but it's more of a one-way street. And then we get frustrated with, why are they not listening to me, or why are they not doing what I say? And then we get into being a leader of adults. And now we're faced with a situation where it can't be like age authority or positional authority as much, because we're more peer to peer, especially as instructional coaches. And that expectation, we have to shift in our mind from, if I want them to be vulnerable in order to grow, I have to come in with that equal vulnerability, willingness. That is what makes growth for both, because the capacity to which you are open and willing to transform yourself and be a lifelong learner and grow yourself as a coach, which means you expand what's possible in terms of your ability to be vulnerable. You hit your own limits in terms of your ability to coach and make an impact. Mm-hmm. If we're only expecting the teacher to be open and grow, the person who's being vulnerable is the person who's growing. That's what I like to tell my leaders.
I love that. The person who's being vulnerable is a person that's growing. I love that so much. Thank you for saying that. That's really like sticky, you know, like remember that. There's a piece of humanity I want to mention right now, because I think it has to do with why we do what we do, which is our human need to feel like we're in control. So in the classrooms, my beautiful coaches, I know you are fantastic teachers. I know that's why you're coaching, right? You did a great job in the classroom. Now you're going to help all the teachers be great as well. And many times there's a sense of control we have over our classrooms, right? And controlling adults, this is adults don't want to be controlled, right? I'm not doing that. And so, and our humanity, right? Like to acknowledge like, oh, I want to feel like I'm in control. And so we can have certain behaviors that we don't realize because we're just like, it's like uncomfortable, right? When we feel like we're out of control and I'm reacting to feel like I am in control. But that kind of, that motivation to feel like I'm in control can severely impact my ability to coach and actually positively impact teachers.
Yeah, because when we say we want control or we value control, what we're saying is, I value feeling safe, because when I believe that I'm in control, it's an illusion, by the way, it's a perception that we have, but we gravitate to that thought because we feel safe when we feel like we have control. So teachers who are thinking, I need to have a certain level of control in my classroom, they do that because it feels safe and secure. It feels stable, right? It's, they're creating a sense of stability. That's why the control. So when a coach comes in and offers things that feel a little bit less controlling, or their brain is, the teacher's brain isn't interpreting that strategy as having as much control, they start to feel unsafe. That's like the minute a person feels unsafe, those blocks are going to come up.
Yep.
So as coaches and leaders, one of the jobs we have is to create an environment of safety, right? That's what trust is. It's like when you trust something, you believe it's safe enough to be exposed, to be open, to be vulnerable, to experiment with change. So teachers have to feel safe in order for you to not have a conversation for the, you know, whatever 180 days you're in school. If you don't want to have a conversation over, same conversation over and over, what that teacher needs to feel is safe.
And that goes along with the little hand model of the prefrontal cortex, the smart part of our brain, the amygdala, right? Yeah. That when we feel unsafe, our prefrontal cortex is our thinking part, the part that like is the thing that has us be great teachers and great leaders and great coaches. Mm-hmm. And then when we feel unsafe, we essentially flip our lid, our amygdala, we get amygdala hijack, and that's in charge of our survival. Our amygdala is not here to learn great teaching strategies. It's not. It is here to have us survive this situation. So it's highly emotional and has all these like resistance strategies and protective strategies that aren't helpful for actually improving. And so, and I'm showing this, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm, you know, my hand, we're flipping our lid here. So feel free to check us out on YouTube. It goes very much along with that, right? If someone is stressed out or feels unsafe, the smart part of their brain is not online. And so if they're stressed out over and over and over again in these conversations for any kind of reason, including not feeling safe, not belonging, you're going to have the same conversation over and over again, because the part of your brain, their brain you want online, is not online.
Right. And they're, that is why they will not change. They won't take any action or make any decisions until they feel safe. And once they feel safe, then they're open to that conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. I love that you went into this thing that I wanted to leave listeners with, not with like, use this concrete tool. I want to leave everyone with a set of questions to ask yourself. And you have thrown a bunch out there, and I'm going to add to them. You know, if you're having the same conversation over and over again, you want to also ask yourself, what needs do they have? What needs have I been meeting? What needs have I not been meeting? Have I been asking helpful questions and shutting up and listening?
And I would add, like, why would a teacher be behaving in this specific way. So if you're meeting a teacher who's resistant or who is talking and asking the same questions and talking about the same topic over and over again, why might they be doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is such an interesting conversation. I love that. I love how this kind of conversation developed. So we need to wrap up, and I would love you to share with folks, how do you support school leaders? I know you have multiple ways that you support school leaders, and where can they find you?
Well, absolutely. So if you want to check out my world, the Empowered Principal world, you can check out the Empowered Principal podcast. It's primarily focused for aspiring and current school leaders who are at the site or at the district level. And then if you want to check out more, or you want to refer maybe your principal, you want to give them some information, right? They can check out AngelaKellyCoaching.com. That's my Empowered Principal website, where they can check out the information there. But the biggest program we have going on is EPC, which is the Empowered Principal Collaborative. It's my group coaching program. It's like fun, collaborative. It's once a week. We meet on Zoom. We get together. We laugh. We have a great time. It's a mastermind energy and experience where everybody's contributing.
Amazing. I love all the ways that you provide support for school leaders. And you just love doing it. Every time I talk to you, you're like, I love this so much. So
it's a dream come true.
Yeah, it is. It's and you're just such a contribution. So thank you so much for coming on the show and just sharing your beautiful knowledge. And yeah, like I'm sure I will have you on again.
Yeah, we'll do it. There's a list of content, I'm sure. Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure. I adore you.
I adore you too.
Oh, thank you.
And if you're interested in additional free PD, we love that price tag, right? Feel free to check out our newly released part two of our podcast playlists. We wanted to give you more of what you were asking for. So check them out in the free resources section of our website, www.thewholeeducator.com, as well as we will throw that link in the show notes. These playlists are themed to help you utilize this very podcast for your own professional development, as well as your colleagues and districts' professional development. And until next time, just remember, don't treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them how they want to be treated. Take care.